Welcome back to Too Long Did Read It, everyone's favorite investigation into the mysteries, the secrets, the curses, the things we must never say out loud of Reddit.
Wow, spooky.
Spooky, scary.
What happens if we do say it out loud?
Then Voldemort will come for you.
What if I don't believe in Voldemort?
Well, then you'll continue life as is.
Great.
Are you guys saying Voldemort?
I said it the way Allison said it, but I
did you say
did not believe that's Voldemort? It's Voldemort, right?
Voldemort.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you saying, Allison?
Voldemort.
You're saying it with the T. It's a D.
Voldemort.
Okay, this is perfect. This is a perfect segue into right before this, Melissa started singing We Are the World.
Because we have these headphones and we're in front of a microphone and mine's on a stand much like it was in the video for
We Are the World.
Yes.
Allison said, "What is that?" Which is patently insane. And then said that she had been singing a Lionel Richie song for years without knowing it was by Lionel Richie. Melissa was like, Lionel Richie. Adele. You thought it was Adele. By Adele?
Well, she has a song named Hello.
Yeah, but they're not the same.
Right. I learned that today.
Oh, my God. So then Melissa was like, actually, Lionel Richie was a huge part of We Are the World. And then Allison said, it's a concert. It was not a concert. It was a music video.
What is it? It's just a song to raise money? Fair,
to be fair, it did come out before any of us were alive. But was still a huge cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. That like, I feel made like, fun of it? Was it a joke?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no.
It's
good and it's serious and it's also funny.
It's also bad.
Is it like when those celebrities sang when COVID happened?
No. I mean, they thought they were doing a We Are the World.
That's what they thought they
were
doing. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they thought that they were doing.
It's hard to recreate something that was done in earnest that has since become camp. It's hard to then like recreate it as if it was earnest and then also you're not going to ever reach the level of camp that it reached. So there's just no redoing it.
This song was also written specifically for this. And those celebrities, when they sat down to sing, that was not written specifically for COVID. That song already existed.
Can you imagine if there was a song about COVID that they sang?
Take my breath away.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Gabe. Dark.
What?
Dark.
Cancel me. Okay, so we used to watch We Are the World in college all the time. It was for USA for Africa, we should say.
Yeah. It came out in 1985.
In 1985. And it has everyone. Everyone's in it. And we used to watch it in college and just be like very high and very obsessed with it. And there's the part that we loved is the Cyndi Lauper part.
That's what I was like, gonna say.
Were you about to say Cyndi Lauper?
Yes, Cyndi Lauper, because that is the most, I feel like if it came out today, it would be so viral because it's not just Cyndi Lauper, because Cyndi Lauper is not a vocalist at all.
No.
And you've got other people in this room that are vocalists, and Cyndi Lauper gets a solo, and we just see Michael Jackson looking, rolling his eyes so hard.
That's the thing, is it's all these people together. That are like you would never think of together, and the dynamics are weird.
They're in the same room?
Yes.
Yes, they're all in the same recording room. It's a
huge.
Wait,
she's not a good singer?
No, I mean, she's fun.
She's not. She's in her genre.
She's a performer.
And this is, yes, and this is not like people. We've got, who else we got in the room? We've got Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon,
Tina Turner, Paul Simon, Kenny Rogers.
Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Dionne Warwick. Like, you've got these people that have voices. Like
power voices.
Power Bob voices.
Dylan. Noted singer Bob Dylan.
Yeah, he doesn't have a power voice.
Okay, then here's what's so funny, is that it's all these, like, musicians, and then for some reason, Dan Aykroyd is there.
Yes. I mean, isn't that around the time Blues Brothers would have been out, I guess?
I guess, right. I guess he could sing
Blues Brothers.
Blues
come out?
Oh, my God.
They're singing in Blues Brothers?
Oh, I can't even have... We have to start the show. I can't have this
oh my
conversation
gosh.
With you.
Yes, Blues Brothers came out in 1980.
Also, Allison, Blues Brothers is part of my and your friendship canon. because Blues Brothers, what was, yes, it is, because Blues Brothers is what was on TV when I was living in that hotel and I saw your Payless commercial and I texted you and we became friends because I was living in a hotel in Koreatown and I was watching Blues Brothers on TV. And that's when I saw your commercial.
I thought we were already friends.
We were friends, but we hadn't been like in a texting friendship till I was like, hey, I saw you on TV. And then we became closer.
Now we are. Who do you think you text the most in your life? Each of you.
Me?
Yeah.
Probably you're up there. The JBU account is up there. And also you personally. Leland. Ooh. I talk to Leland a lot. My friend Ryan. It goes through phases. Sometimes Sarah Marshall.
I've never even heard of this Ryan.
Ryan is a friend who went on a Hinge date with my boyfriend. And then Alex was like, actually, like, you and Ryan will get along better. So, and then he invited him out, and then Ryan and I became very close.
When was that?
Like a while ago. Ryan's on my kickball team, but I recruited him for it. So it's like a while ago. Like, and then we met, and he was wearing like a backwards cap, a graphic tee that was like Taylor Swift, but she was in a metal band. And he was like, I love Diet Coke. And I was like, Alex, you really have a type. It's just like quirky weirdos.
Who love Diet Coke.
What about you?
I think Avia.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. I think it's you two and then my parents.
Loser.
That's cute.
My parents would absolutely love if I was up there. I told you guys about what happened.
I'm calling my parents and they're too busy to talk to me.
My parents think that, like, they're like, Gabe never talks to us. I told you, I didn't tell the podcast this, but I told you guys that on Thanksgiving, my dad said that Cheyenne was his favorite officially. And then said it was because she loves him the most out of all four of us.
So really, you brought that on yourself.
Was he joking?
No. And because we looked at his phone and in his favorites, Cheyenne is number one above his wife. And then I am number six.
You don't pick the order, though. You don't pick the order.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Because you can assign it to the number that's on your phone. If you hold down like whatever number they are, that's what they call.
And I can just hit that number and it'll call them?
Yeah. And I'm number six below his friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still have John in my phone as John B.
Everybody's first name, last name in my phone. Everybody.
Well, yeah, because you're organized.
I have first name, last name, and then a little emoji to indicate you.
I literally just have, like, sometimes how I know you.
Actually don't have an emoji for Melissa.
Celia's still in my phone as Celia Neighbor.
Am I in your phone as Gabe Annoying Do Not Pick Up?
No. I tried to call you the other day and you ignored me.
I did.
I called and he picked up, so I don't know what to tell you.
But you called twice.
And you called me. We were going back and forth. Yeah. We have business to discuss.
We were texting. Then I go, can I call you? Because it was complicated what we were talking about. And then Gabe went disappear.
Wow.
I didn't disappear. I said, I'm getting out of the shower, which is not a response to can I call you. I just said something.
And also
to,
it was like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I just responded like something that was not a no, but was like a completely unrelated sentence to sort of not have to talk on the phone.
Hi everyone, Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new
new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think the not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her MyLifeInABook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with MyLifeInABook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
All right, so now let's finally, halfway through the show, get into a Reddit post.
That's just about a third of a way.
Yeah, we're just a third in. Sit back, relax. There's a lot of content headed your way. Our first subreddit of this episode is going to be just simply screenwriting.
Okay.
And now guess how many members you think is in this subreddit. Don't look. Guess.
2 million.
Well, I'm already there, so.
You think there's 2 million screenwriters?
Yes, because I think that I think it's going to be something that's going to depress me.
Yeah, it's 1.7 million.
Oh, no. Not all of us can succeed.
Well, maybe it's a lot of people who are just interested in it.
I hope so.
So the OP writes, is it possible to get away with murder in today's era of master forensic evidence?
I love that it's under craft question because it's like, I'm not asking for any other reason.
Well, I don't. Oh, no, that's so true. Okay. But let's assume it's for writing because they say, for a crime thriller set in modern times I am writing, I want the main character, a cop, to accidentally kill another cop in a shootout with the antagonist. And he wants to cover it up and make the other police believe the antagonists did it. However, I am not sure how to write it so he actually gets away with it.
I'm going to stop you right there. He's a police officer. They'll cover it up for him, baby.
Yep.
End of movie.
That's what I thought too. I was like, I can't believe anything you say.
Just go to them, tell them what happened, and the cops will be like, sure.
Let's assume that this is a question not about cops then.
Okay.
To make it more interesting. However, I'm not sure how to write it so he actually gets away with it. I can't just have him shoot the guy by accident because the bullets will just be traced to his gun. Uh-huh. So I could write it so that he runs out of bullets and hides for cover around a corner, pulls out his personal pocket knife, ready to stab the next antagonist that comes around the corner, and he sees someone with a gun out, come around the corner, stabs him, and then realizes he stabbed another cop who he knows by accident? Is this better since stabbings are harder to trace than bullet wounds forensic-wise? Hmm. If it works, I can write it that way, but if not, I will have to think of something else. Thank you for any opinions on this. I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, like in this specific scenario, if it's a cop, they'd have on a bulletproof vest, right? So you have to stab him pretty hard.
In the neck.
Stab him in the neck, Melissa.
Oh, in the neck.
In the neck. In the jugular.
I think the big thing to talk about here is that we overblow how accurate forensics is.
That's what I was going to say. That's what the next person said.
That, like, we assume that they're just solving murders all the time off of forensics. And so certainly much not. Of forensics is made up.
Yeah, and it takes so long to do it, too. It's not an instant thing. And so a lot of it never gets tested.
Yeah, a lot. And then, like, all these experts, like blood splatter experts, it's not real. Like, they're kind of just making it up.
Yes.
And I would like to recommend a podcast that does a very good deep dive into this. But I don't remember the name.
Allison!
Let me find it.
Okay, while you're finding that, I would like to say that since there are 1.7 million people in this group, I feel like a lot of people in here are just trying to get away with murders and using it
That's
as
what
an
I'm saying.
Under screenwriting.
That's what I'm saying.
What the hell is this show called? I'm so embarrassed.
You should be. You not remembering something? Oh my
God. Well, what's so embarrassing is that I literally made a list of my favorite podcasts for Good Pods and it's on there and I forgot what it was called. Okay.
Well, look for your list.
I found the list. It's called Unraveled. And normally Unraveled will take like a specific true crime case for a whole season. But in season 3, they actually break the format and they just talk about faulty forensics, expert testimonies, and wrongful incarceration.
There needs to be more of that. There needs to be a lot more of that because witness testimonies aren't reliable. People confess for all sorts of reasons that aren't real. That's why copaganda is so hard because it's just like shows it as if it's this superpower or that like forensics is going to like nail down exactly who did everything. And only 60%, like the best police departments solve probably like 60% of crimes, murders specifically.
That sounds high.
And that's the best. You can get away with so much more than you think. The real problem is not forensics. The real problem is your phone.
I think that we should not allow witness testimonies of people identifying people they don't know.
Ooh.
Like any witness testimony that's like, oh yeah, I saw this guy leaving that house. He looked like blank. It's that guy. That should not be allowed because people's memories are garbage.
Unless it's a guy who has like an eye patch and like he's wearing sort of like 1920s gear with like a top hat. You know what I mean? It's a very specific looking guy.
Yeah, he's dressed as a hot dog and he's riding a hot dog car.
The Wienermobile?
That was another I think you should leave reference, Melissa. You got to watch it.
The guy in Moscow, Idaho, who killed those kids, they caught him. It was like a very bloody crime scene. Like they should have had evidence. They caught him because his phone. He drove by their house like 4 or 5 times, like a fucking idiot.
Wow.
Leave your phone at home.
Stop giving advice to murderers.
Sorry. Anyway, okay.
Okay. So I'll read another one. That's from the subreddit Sad Cringe.
Love.
Oh, God.
Sad Cringe is a place for awkward or embarrassing situations that also make you feel sad. Please note, the sad part of Sad Cringe is in reference to when something makes you feel sad. It's not about calling someone out for being sad.
Got it.
Okay.
I love the specificity of this.
I'm joining this immediately.
Okay, so this is a post of someone, I think it must have been one of their tweets, where they say, I'm 40 and I don't date girls over 24. My girlfriends are 20, 21, and 24. The 24 I've been with her since 2 years. Too much mileage and baggage when they're older than that. Trust me, I've tested it out extensively. So I recommend you do the same. 18 to 24 only understand the game.
Yeah, I agree.
And then someone wrote in a response, I said this in another comment, but I just want to point out that the guys behind these accounts hire us, sex workers, to hang out with them and take pictures, laughing my ass off. Last summer, I was on a boat with 4 other women, and the guys who booked it took selfies and Snapchats with us all day, which ended up on one guy's alpha male account, where he was like, these women flock to me. Huh? Sir, we were there because you paid us to sit on a rented boat with you. That guy also went on weird rants about women's age and was like, look at all these 20-year-old girls I hang out with, not like those hags over 25. Reader, half the women on that boat were over 30. And that dung beetle and all his followers literally could not tell.
I love
this woman.
They had
no fucking clue. In the strip club, they regularly ask 32-year-old strippers with kids if they're in school because they think they're 21. They cannot tell. It doesn't matter how much they screech that they can.
This is so funny. Oh, my God. This sex worker is my hero. I love her.
Right?
I love her.
It's so wild. And then someone wrote, Alpha douche, you're very mature for your age. 33-year-old sex worker. Thanks.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. I was going to say, I hated it until I clicked the little button to read the response. Great job.
Oh, yeah, the response is the great part.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so horrifying. It's also just like, okay, so then what happens? Like, if you start dating your girlfriend at 20 because she doesn't have enough baggage, does she then just amass too much baggage having to tolerate you that by 25 you got to get rid of her?
As yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
I think it's that you just don't – you're immature – and you don't want to have to answer to anyone, and you don't want someone who knows how they should be treated in a relationship. So you're like, let me just get someone who I can just mold, and I don't have to like care about their feelings. And then the minute, at whatever age, the minute that person starts being like, you should care about my feelings, the person's like, what? I'm sorry, you're going through a tunnel. Shh, I can't hear you. And then they ghost.
I also think it's like so hilarious that like all these guys that are douchey that post these photos with hot women, how many of them are probably paid to be there? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Like I hadn't thought about that, but I bet they're mostly all just paid to be there.
Yes. Sprinkle, sprinkle. That's what Shira 7 says.
Who's that?
What's that mean?
People that know get it.
All right.
There's this woman. Her name is Shira 7 is her YouTube account. And she basically tells women how they can get money out of old men and have them take care of them. And then you'll see on posts that aren't even specifically her posts on other things where people are talking about scamming men. And it just says sprinkle, sprinkle. And it's in reference to Shira.
Well, how can I get it? Can I say something? I went on Seeking Arrangement. I made a little profile on Seeking Arrangement. I think a lot of them are bullshitting, and I don't know how to figure out if it's a real rich guy or not.
You gotta go watch Shira's video. She breaks everything down for you.
Okay.
I find them entertaining.
Okay.
It's not something I would follow, but I feel like you would get a lot out of it.
Wait, why do you think that they're not rich?
Because they could just say that they're rich, but how do I know? I need them to,
don't they have to send you money?
Well, yeah, but I think they have to send the money first because I'm not doing shit.
What is it like? Are you supposed to meet them in person or it's online stuff?
It's whatever. It's whatever you want. They want to date you. That's the thing. It's not like they're like, oh, I want to date you and go on dates and stuff. But then I'll also give you money, which is kind of an ideal relationship. I really am I'm looking for a patron of the arts. So that's what my profile says. My profile is hi, I'm really just looking for someone to sort of fund my art. And also we can date.
Have you gotten any interest?
Yeah, but I don't know if they're lying.
Well, why don't you look them up and see if they look like they have a lot of photos with hot young women?
But also, you don't do anything until they send you the money.
Yeah.
That's true. When I was in New York, when I was a young little sex worker in New York, a guy was let me take you to Europe. And I was no, I'm busy. I should have just gone to Europe. What do you mean? You're 24. How busy could you be?
No.
No, he was going to bring other girls.
That's a lot of time with somebody. You would have been so – what if he was a bad conversationalist?
There were other girls that were going. It wouldn't just be me. He probably would have kidnapped me. Look, there's a lot of good reasons I didn't go. But I'm I could just be in Dubai with this old man. He'd probably be dead by now. Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, TRUVAGA.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
This one you'll like. This is from Interesting as Fuck. And it says, in World War II, drag shows were popular with the troop.
Yes.
It was a way to relieve stress. One British unit came under attack while hosting a show, so they had to fight while dolled up. The government tried to hide these photos for years. And then it's these amazing photos of soldiers in drag having to operate their weapons.
Oh my God. I love it.
And then just photos of their drag shows.
This is the Dunkirk Harry Styles should have been in.
This is incredible.
And then someone wrote, bro, there's nothing gayer than straight Marines.
Very true. Extremely true.
And then someone replied, as a formerly active duty Marine, it's only gay if you take your socks off.
As a sailor who worked with Marines, it ain't gay while it's underway.
Oh, yeah.
That's so funny.
I was going to say everybody in this photo on these photos have on knee high, so it's not gay.
Yeah, they got their socks on.
Wow. Drag has only become part of the talking point of the right wing and an attack on masculinity because they're starting to they're conflating it with like transness. Like they're just like, it's just like people don't understand the history of anything. So like people get all up in arms and they're like, this thing was new. And it's like, it's not new. This thing was like never a problem with like, you know, it's just like, you're like, you go from this to don't ask, don't tell, like with the military. And it's just like cyclical. Like people don't realize that after this, there'll probably be a really lovely creative resurgence, I hope. Or like a pushback. I mean, I don't know, because we've never been through such a hateful period of time when there has been social media to radicalize people even more. So who knows? Maybe it'll never go back. But I don't know. People just don't know the history of anything and then hate on it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. Do you have a silly one?
I have a funny one.
Final silly one?
Yeah. This is in our pics. And it's just people posting a place for photographs, pictures, and other images. But this made me laugh. Okay. This lovely letter was delivered to me today, and it's on loose leaf paper, and it's written in pen, and it says, "Hello, many people in blank, so their community, have complained about your giant skeleton and feel it is a monstrosity to drive by every day to school and work. Last year, the skeleton was very depressing and scary for the children, and for the adults, it is very offensive towards Jesus' birth on Christmas. It is an embarrassment to the community and is perceived as trashy. If you do not enjoy the spirit of Christmas, then please do not decorate at all. On behalf of blank community, please, in all caps, take it down. It is not funny either, ma'am. Signed, the people of blank." And then it says, "Also, no one wants to see bones during Christmas."
I don't know about you, but I love to see a bone during Christmas.
Okay, bada bing, bada boom.
And then people are like,
"Santa only comes once a year."
Oh my god!
Let's
and only
it.
If you're naughty. Okay, so there was like, "Is there anyone who wants to see a pic of this horribly offensive skeleton?" And it's like, "What? It's the Home Depot skeleton. It's clearly that big fucking skeleton that people had this year."
Yeah.
Is he dressed up as an elf?
Oh yeah. Why don't you dress it up as an elf? That's fun.
That's festive.
Yeah, that's festive. Why don't you dress him up as Santa? I guess then the children would be like, "Why is Santa dead?"
But then it's what was that? Is it Nightmare Before Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yes, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, skeleton dressed in a Santa costume.
He definitely
also
does.
I'm assuming that most of these children were alive a month and a half earlier. When Halloween Halloween decorations were up.
This is true.
Like, in that month and a half, did they just, like, totally forget what a skeleton decoration was and became terrified of it?
What this person should do is should make an entire skeleton nativity scene.
Ooh, baby skeleton Jesus.
Baby, tiny baby skeleton. I love Nightmare Before Christmas because it is a movie about cultural appropriation. Because the Halloween people, yes, the Halloween people go and they go to Christmas land and they love Christmas so much. They go, "We're going to do Christmas," but they don't actually understand Christmas. So they do Christmas all wrong and it ruins Christmas. Stay in your lane. Their culture is not a costume.
Okay. Whose turn is it, for Reddit or not?
Gabe.
Wow. Okay. Golly gee. Well, you know how people make, like, tiny burritos?
Uh-huh.
Do you think anyone ever makes, like, really small little salads that are, like, one leaf?
Let's see.
Very tiny salad. The tiniest little salad.
I have seen it, but I don't know if it's on.
I'm so hungry.
I'm so hungry, too. Oh, yeah. Wow. Very small salad is a post. And it's on that Reddit, "We want plates," and it's a small salad in a wine glass.
Oh my god.
I would be pissed if I ordered that and it came out like that.
There's this girl that I follow on Reels that she does like impressions of the Kardashians, and she's so funny. And one of her things is that she always has them eating, you know how the Kardashians eat those big salads? She always has them, like, eating the salads in a weird way. So, like, she has one where it's, like, the salad is in just, like, a glass and the person is just, like, Chloe, her version of Chloe is just, like, stirring the salad in the glass with a straw. Or, like, then she'll have, like, one of them, like, eating this. It'll be, like, a salad in a wine glass or, like, something like that. Like, it's always they're, like, eating the salad in such a stupid way.
I also found the miniatures subreddit where we have exactly what you were looking for, which is a tiny little salad in a tiny little woven basket.
Yep. I just
said it out of salad or no?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. Out
of salad. It's the under our miniatures. Not.
I just sent it to you in a text message. It looks like they made the salad straight from their garden, too.
Wow. It's so cute. A small garden.
Wow. It's so cute. What is this? A salad for ants?
Yeah. Wow, we really did it. And now it's time for us to all go eat dinner.
So, yep.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday with another full episode of Just Between Us, which you can access ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/justbetweenus, where you will get 8 ad-free episodes per month, plus additional video content, including a whole video of this entire show that you just watched. That filled with a lot of facial expressions, I gotta be honest, for just $3 a month. And we will also be back on Monday with another episode of Too Long Did Read It.
And we have new merch. Get it at justbetweenuspod.com.
Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.